Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday, lively as ever in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1 1 hour from now. Doesn't get any better than Greg Cosell. If you bet football, play fantasy football, or just love to get smarter, 4 decades at NFL Films, Greg Cosell is joining us, and 16-time Emmy winner Tom Rinaldi's on the show today. Known Tom for a long, long time. Great guy. Joy
this
Taylor's joining me.
Yeah, Tom. Really fast, right?
What's that?
This week went really fast.
It really did. Tom Rinaldi called me a month before he was coming to Fox, and he asked me a question, and we talked for about 15 minutes. I've known Tom for a long time, and I got off the phone, and I was like, I wonder why he called me for that question. And then he signed with Fox.
Oh.
When friends call, and I hadn't heard from Tom in a long time, and I'm like, that's great to hear from you. And he asked me a question, and we prattled on for 15 minutes, and then what do you know? Tommy became a teammate. And by the way, he's already done his first story, and he was
amazing.
Yeah, like, just get your tissues out for, you know, an hour and a half from
so
now.
So do you get, like, a finder's fee,
should.
A recruiting fee?
That's exactly. Thank you, Joy Taylor. You know, I was thinking about this. Yesterday, I had to drive around and do a bunch of stuff, so I was listening to all sorts of sports talk radio and, you know, just everybody chopping it up. You know, I was thinking, a lot of people talking about Deshaun Watson. And, in fact, Richard Sherman, great, he'll be a Hall of Fame player, right? He's talking about Deshaun Watson. Everybody's like, you should get out of there, and you should go to the Jets with their new coach, Robert Saleh. Here was Richard Sherman on a Chris Collinsworth podcast.
It would be the most beautiful. Decent offensive line. They'd have to find threats. They'd have to find some offensive weapons. But I think there would be a lot more people excited to be there. You know, I think the free agency market this year is going to be oversaturated because of the salary cap. But that's what I would do. I would be out of there on the first thing smoking.
Okay, I know the teams. It would work with the teams. The Jets have a lot of draft picks. And the Texans need draft picks. And the Jets have a lot of cap space, and the Texans don't have any. I can make an argument for the teams. Has anybody asked Deshaun Watson? Since Deshaun Watson entered the NFL, not only have the Jets failed to make the playoffs, they have the worst record in the league. Worse than Detroit. That's what Deshaun Watson sees. In fact, in the last decade, the Houston Texans have made the playoffs seven winning seasons and 6 division titles. That's the last decade. The Jets have 1 winning season. Nobody's asking Deshaun Watson about this. And remember, because he's a star quarterback, he has a no trade clause. He doesn't want to go to the Jets, does he? If I ask you, who are the 5 most dysfunctional teams in the NFL today? You know what you'd find? Most of them were dysfunctional 15 years ago. Why? Because they've had the same owner. Unless you get rid of the owner, you don't get rid of the dysfunction. That's why Cleveland for years and years, they changed a lot of stuff. They had to go through so many coaches and quarterbacks. They finally appear to have the right coach because they had the same owner. So if I'm the agent of Deshaun Watson, no. I'm not letting him go to the Jets. Go look at the Jets roster. Where is it better than the Texans? I found one position, punter. And if you are playing for the Jets and you're a punter, you get a lot of work. But offensive line, Texans actually, they have a star left tackle. Jets don't have a star anywhere in the O-line. Receivers, Texans. Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, that's way better than anything the Jets have. Jamison Crowder's a slot guy, doesn't run particularly well. Running back, Texans. Tight end, Texans. Where are they better? Jets didn't have a Pro Bowler last year. That's hard. I mean, it's not baseball where everybody gets an All-Star for the All-Star game, but they didn't have a Pro Bowler. There's a lot of places Deshaun Watson could go. Miami's a great fit. Indianapolis is an unbelievable fit. Texans aren't going to trade him in division. New England's a good fit. San Francisco, potentially. But something lost in all this. Everybody's talking about Robert Saleh. Oh, that'd be great. Does everybody understand, when we look at the NFL draft, we often talk about how many players don't make it. There's a lot of busts, even in the first round. We looked it up this morning, even in the top 10 picks. Like 2 to 3 of the top 10 either bust every year or they really disappoint. There's occasional outlier years. But just think about this. There's only 7 head coaches in the NFL currently who have been with their team more than 4 years. There's 32 teams. That's not even a quarter. In fact, Ron Rivera is currently the longest tenured coach in the NFC East. Ron Rivera is. Folks, 50% of coaches are an abject bust. Of the remaining 50%, maybe 10% become great. You think players bust, coaches bust at a much higher level. So I just think we should probably ask Deshaun Watson where he wants to go, because as much as I lobbied yesterday for the trade to happen, it makes sense for a radio guy when I'm trying to connect the dots with draft picks and salary. You can't let Deshaun Watson go to the Jets. 2 weeks ago, I was imploring Trevor Lawrence shouldn't go to the Jets. Deshaun's better than Trevor Lawrence today, isn't he? I want to talk about this. So Aaron Rodgers, he's very happy this year. He's very, very happy. He's talking a lot, and he should. I like when Aaron talks. He's smart. I like when smart people talk. Dumb people, not so much. Smart people talk all you want. So Aaron was talking about his future to the Green Bay Press Gazette. That's a newspaper there. There's like 12 left in the country, apparently. He was talking about his future in Green Bay and how he doesn't know how it's going to end up.
I'm thankful for the opportunity, again, to be leading these guys, to be to have played the way I want to play, to be called upon for a greater leadership role. Those things are really, really important to me. But all that other stuff, Rob, is stuff that I'm just not going to focus on, you know, because it is a beautiful mystery what happens down the line.
I don't think it's a beautiful mystery. I said this 3 days ago. Aaron Rodgers, of every star quarterback in the league, has the cleanest and clearest path to multiple Super Bowls over the next decade. Many of you would say Patrick Mahomes. But the AFC is loaded with great young quarterbacks, and almost all of them, outside of like a Justin Herbert, appear to have a winning, proven veteran head coach or a good head coach. What about Mahomes? Well, what about Josh Allen? They have to face each other for the next 12 years. Let's just go to Aaron Rodgers' path. So let's start in division. That's why Tom Brady won those Super Bowls, right? He dominated his division, got a bye in a home game. In division, Minnesota is trapped with Kirk Cousins' contract. Detroit is currently, quote, evaluating Matt Stafford's contract. And the Bears and Trubisky, oh, just stop. Let's look at his peers' equal talent, like guys in his class in the NFC, because that gets you to Super Bowls. There's two. Russell Wilson, Seattle just hired a new offensive coordinator. And to say that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have an enigmatic relationship is kind. And they have a battle line. And then there's Tom Brady. Love him, but he's 43. All right. So let's go to the young guns, the young, talented quarterbacks GMs have drafted in the NFC. Jared Goff, his coach essentially benched him this year. Mitch Trubisky, stop it. Kyler Murray, yet to have a winning season. I'm not sure he's got an NFL head coach. Jimmy Garoppolo, according to an NFL reporter, a seasoned NFL reporter a couple weeks ago, I think it was Chris Mortensen. If I'm wrong, I apologize. The Niners are looking to upgrade. And Dak Prescott, I don't know his future. And by the way, after watching Aaron Rodgers this year, your thoughts on Mike McCarthy, kind of like mine? Not Mahomes, not Josh Allen, not Aaron Rodgers' future is not that big of a mystery. He has got one similar-aged peer that has at least resembles his level of talent in the entire conference. It's not the young guns. Brady is old. It's not his division. It's Russell Wilson, who has a defensive older head coach, a new coordinator, at best outside of left tackle, a shaky offensive line, and a relationship with his head coach, which at times feels strained or weird. I think Aaron's future is not a mystery at all. He's going to get to the Super Bowl after this weekend. Not sure if he'll win it. And I think he gets to several. Remember, easier the path for great players, the more Super Bowls you get to. Brady's talent and coaching, no, it was buys, home field advantage in cold Foxborough was the biggest part of getting to those things. I mean, Brady was a field goal from losing every single Super Bowl he won, except the Rams game. So I think Aaron Rodgers' future is not a mystery at all. It's clean. It's clear. Stay healthy. He's in a bunch. Kyrie Irving returned for the Nets last night. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. And Tom Rinaldi stops by as well today on a Thursday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Casper Sleep. Life-changing. What's underneath matters. 86 supportive gel pods. Casper mattresses only at Casper.com. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. Joy joining me as always. You know, it's Kyrie returned for the Nets. They lost to awful Cleveland, and he scored a bunch of points. It's funny because they were 4-0. The Nets had won four straight without Kyrie, and they were 2-0 with KD and Harden. And then he comes back against dreadful Cleveland, and they lost. And the guy he's guarding, Colin Sexton, scored 20 straight points in overtime. And by the way, James Harden, not only did they lose to Cleveland, and Colin Sexton, who's Kyrie's guy, score all the points in overtime for Cleveland, James Harden in 51 minutes had 14 shots, which here's the problem. And if you go look at the plus-minus numbers, KD and Harden on the floor were +6, but Harden and Kyrie were -3. KD and Kyrie were -7. So they were better when he was off the floor. This was the same thing with the Nets last year and Kyrie. It's very interesting. What I'm about to say, fans always get this. The media doesn't. Fans understand. For years and years, Joey Sindelar would win the golf long drive contest. He never won tournaments because he couldn't putt. Everybody knows that you can be a great talent. Fans always know this. OBJ is a great talent, but he's hurt a lot, and Baker Mayfield was better when he didn't play. Fans get that. Media struggles with it. The Nets will be worse with Kyrie Irving. He's the only NBA star I can think of in my adult life. Maybe there was another, I couldn't think of it. That I would be willing to trade for role players. And I think I would upgrade. Now, it never works that way. Like you're trading a great player. You know you're not going to get equal value. You're just getting draft picks. You're basically crossing your fingers. With Kyrie, I would trade for role players. And I think a lot of NBA is very unique. Ratings indicate we don't watch the NBA games. We watch the highlights. And Kyrie Irving is an Instagram basketball star. In 15-second clips, he's amazing. If you watch 47 minutes, not so much. He plays no defense. But NBA fans are younger than other sports. They play more video games and often fantasy than other sports. And so you need stars to win video games and fantasy. So in the NBA, it's the one sport where guys that aren't winning basketball players just get defended. Always, Westbrook still gets defended. It's like he's not a winning basketball player. He's just talented. In the NFL, we don't do that. In the NFL, if you don't help the cause to winning, fans are like, I'm out. I'm not. You ask most fans in Cleveland today, if you could trade OBJ this afternoon in Cleveland and get a really good safety, like get an equal player on defense that would shore up the back end of your defense, 75% of Cleveland fans would be like, absolutely, we want to beat the Chiefs. We got to beat Josh Allen. We got to beat Patrick Mahomes. But the NBA is different. We don't watch the games. We watch clips. And in the world of clips, Kyrie is amazing. I was just saying during the break, he's probably the best small finisher I've ever seen in my life. Left hand, right hand. You know, generally your great finishers are, you know, Michael Jordan 6'6", and Kobe and Shaq and LeBron and Durant. And they're big. They're tall. They're long. They get – Kyrie's like my height. He's 6'1.5", and he's an unbelievable finisher. I've never seen a small player finish like him. And again, he's an Instagram basketball star. In clips, he's great. But if you watch over time, last night, Colin Sexton, good player, not great, scored 20 straight points for the Cavs. So I think Brooklyn has a chance to be incredibly special with Harden, KD, and role players. I'm just not sure they can come to terms with giving up Kyrie for guys that don't need to score, that need to defend. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Yeah, they could have used a little defense last night.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Sexton's a nice player, but can you imagine scoring? I don't think Colin Sexton ever scored 20 straight points at Alabama.
He was incredible last night.
Yeah, I mean, he just...
He's just unconscious.
You know, there's... In the NBA, if you have a weakness on the floor defensively, you saw that last night, you just go at it every time down the floor.
If they don't make an adjustment, just keep doing it.
Just go at Kyrie. And that's the weakness. Go at Kyrie defensively.
So the Bucks are one game away from their first Super Bowl appearance in 18 years.
Wow.
They'd also be the first team to play that game in their home stadium. But Bruce Arians is not looking ahead to that possibility just yet.
Yeah, we don't play that game this week. That's the message to everybody. We play the Packers in the NFC Championship game. You start thinking about the Super Bowl, get your ass beat, and be packing your bags on Monday.
He's kind of a bottom line guy.
I mean, he's very, very right, though. And it's especially essential that the Bucks pay attention to that messaging because they would be playing it at home. And that's got to be in the back of your mind a little bit. So you just have to smush that out and focus on the Packers.
You know what's amazing about this game? And I think Green Bay is going to win comfortably. If Aaron Rodgers loses at Lambeau to Brady, I mean, our show Monday is Aaron's now one game over 500 in the playoffs with three losses at Lambeau as a favorite. And if Brady wins this, and it's in Tampa, you think New England's insecure this morning? Can you imagine that? If Brady gets to the Super Bowl in Tampa against either really young Josh Allen... And they'll get overwhelmed by Kansas City, I would think.
Or the emerging new dynasty of the Kansas City Chiefs. It'll be something.
Oh, my.
I cannot wait for these weekend
games. It's almost, you know what, Joy? My life, I think both of us, it's never been easy. Like, we've had to move around a lot. That would be too perfect for our lives. For Brady to win and get to a Super Bowl... It literally, I would come into the show 2 minutes before it starts and talk. I would do no prep.
No, you wouldn't. He preps a lot.
But I'm seriously, that would be too perfect for us.
I mean, it would be... The real big picture, though, is no matter what happens, we're not going to get a bad Super Bowl. Last year, we were a little nervous that the Titans might sneak in here and just, just ruin the week. No offense, Titans fans, but like no one outside of Tennessee was rooting for that.
By the way, for us, I'll just say this right now. I'm a Brady guy, but I think the best Super Bowl is Green Bay, Kansas City.
Yes.
I think that's the best game for the American fans.
Yes.
I think Brady may even get a higher rating against Mahomes. He's so iconic. But if you're asking me...
What's the best game?
I got to tell you something. That would be potentially an all-time great Super Bowl, a top fiver. The two best quarterbacks, and not just the two best quarterbacks because of their record, talent-wise. Oh, my Lord.
So
but
good.
See, it's not going to happen because that would be too great for
it's
us.
It's a big soup weekend. So the Chiefs have some of the most impressive offensive weapons in the NFL, and the Bills' defense knows it's going to be a challenge. To limit their success in the AFC title game on Sunday, safety Jordan Poyer said, you look at trying to stop them, and it's kind of like, who are you going to stop? You look at how they're winning games, and they're making big plays. You've got to find a way to limit their explosive plays. They're in this spot for a reason.
That's right. You don't stop them, you limit them.
Yes. And now you can maybe try to take away one of their weapons, but the problem is they have so many that they're just going to keep going to whatever target is working that day. They're such a team that they don't really need to rely on one specific explosive target.
Well, it's like when you play the Dodgers this year. They were going to score on you. When you play the Dodgers, you try to avoid the big inning.
Yes.
If Cody Bellinger hits one 400 yards, just make sure nobody's on. Because the Dodgers, their batting order 1-8 was insane, historically insane. They were going to score on you. The key is don't give them four-run innings. Well, too many people did, and they won the World Series. But there are offenses where just don't walk guys. You're gonna lose some at bats.
Right, you're going to lose a little bit here and there. Just don't give up the big one.
Don't give up four run innings, and you have a chance to beat the Dodgers, and people couldn't.
Their defense, the Bills' defense, is 16th in points allowed per game, 14th in yards allowed per game, 15th in sacks, and they're tied for third in turnovers.
It's
now,
really
the Chiefs
well.
Are not a big turnover team, so but they're kind of just like a middle of the road defense. Obviously, good enough to get them here.
Yeah.
And you know, Phillip Rivers had 309 yards and two touchdowns, and they also rushed for 163 total yards. Jonathan Taylor had 78 yards and a touchdown, but obviously the Buffalo game was completely different, and that's a really good offense, and particularly a rushing offense as well. So they can get it done if they need to, but I just think, to his point, just save one big explosive play and you'll be able to be in it.
Yeah.
As Baker Mayfield enters the final year of his rookie contract, the Browns have the options to sign him for a new deal or pick up his fifth year option. GM Andrew Berry spoke about how pleased he was with Baker's performance this season, but did not necessarily commit to him long term.
He did an excellent job this year, right? He led us to a first playoff appearance in, you know, eons. We've got 12 wins, played winning football all year, developed a really strong relationship with Kevin and the offensive staff. And really, like I mentioned last week, he really grew before our eyes on a weekly basis, both on and off the field. So we're very, very pleased with him. Look, we wouldn't be where we were at the end of the season without his performance. And he had a really strong season.
But they aren't willing to give him an extension yet. Interesting, a year ago, Myles Garrett, same situation. They did give him an extension, despite having kind of a bad moment, a bad PR moment.
He had a really terrible moment, but his body of work outweighed that one terrible moment when it came to Myles Garrett.
They could. By the way, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh said yesterday, we're signing him to an extension. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is going to sign Josh Allen to an extension as soon as the season's over. Why isn't Cleveland? I'm just not trying to be cynical. I'm just asking.
Well, Pro Football Focus has Baker ranked as the 13th ranked quarterback this season. If you look at who is 12 and 14, 14 is Lamar Jackson, who is going to get an extension. And Matthew Stafford is the 12th ranked this season. He is earning $9.5 million and has a $10 million roster bonus and a cap hit of $33 million. Obviously, he's already been paid, but he's not going to get one of those, I don't think, one of those massive contracts.
Would you pay him a massive contract? Reasonable.
No, I wouldn't.
Thank you.
But that's not saying that Baker isn't capable.
Exactly. But what would you pay him and feel comfortable?
I mean, kind of where he is. Like, you have to be in that. I mean, Lamar Jackson's probably going to actually make more than him.
Oh, of course he should make.
He's a more dynamic playmaker.
Oh, of course. Not even close.
Like, if you get caught up in a cap situation with Baker, you're not going to have the pieces around you.
Exactly. By the way, that's a great point. We're going to do that segment tomorrow. In a perfect world, what would I pay my top 15 guy? Because I'd pay Lamar more than I would Baker because he wins 80% of his games.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the top half of quarterbacks Baker Mayfield is this year. I mean, he's
about 15th.
He's ranked 13th according to Pro Football Focus.
Is he as good as Derek? Would you pay him as much as Derek Carr?
What is Derek Carr making?
No, I'm just asking if you would.
Yeah, I would pay him what Derek Carr is making.
Well, I think Derek's more. I would pay Derek more.
I think that Baker's proven the maturity side of things this year. I think this year was a really big year for Baker as far as that goes.
By the way, last time he had a little success, he put on weight and had 15 commercials.
Well,
maybe they're saying, let's give us one more off season to see how you handle this.
Oh, I'm cool with waiting for another season. They have the leverage there. They should.
All right.
What's he going to get on the open market?
Somebody would go after him, I think. He has
with
a lot
a massive contract?
No, God, no, no. New Baker, Dak, who would you pay more?
Dak.
Yeah. So by the way, I've been critical of Dak.
But Dak is also asking for a lot of money.
Now, that worries me, but I'm saying I would pay him more because I do feel I get a consistency and a leadership maturity level.
I mean, I think you could pay, you're going to have to pay your quarterback, right? So it's not as if like I'm talking about pennies here. I think you could pay Baker $20 million.
Oh, he's going to want a lot more than that.
He's going to want a lot more, but like I think that's reasonable.
I do too.
You need a lot of pieces around him.
I do too.
Yeah, he's going to ask for a lot more than that.
Yeah, Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Hey, Albert Breer, Greg Cosell, top of next hour. Albert Breer joining us. Great reporter. Monday morning quarterback brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. It's really interesting what's going on with some of this stuff. So let's talk to Deshaun Watson trade. Listen, we know the Jets and Texans. It makes sense. In fact, one team needs picks. One team's got them. But if I was Deshaun Watson's agent, I'm not sending him to a team that since Deshaun entered the NFL has the worst record, the Jets. I'm not sending him there. That's not where I want to go. I'd send him to Miami. I'd send him, you know, there's a lot of places I'd send him. What is your gut feeling on what transpires in this whole Texans, Deshaun Watson, little border skirmish here?
Well, I think really it's on Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby to find a way to fix this. I don't think you can trade a quarterback of his age, of his talent, of his accomplishment. And, you know, Watson may continue to force the issue, but, you know, I think that once they get a new coach in place, then we really start to see the process of trying to mend fences here. And I just lay this out here for you. Like a good friend of Nick Caserio's is Josh McDaniels. One of Josh McDaniels' first moves in Denver 11 years ago was to trade Jay Cutler. That sort of set the tone for the organization where, you know, players really felt like if they kicked and screamed, they could find their way out of there. You saw what happened with Brandon Marshall just a short time after that. So I think Nick and his staff, they're going to be cognizant of those sorts of things. And I'm just not sure that in this sort of situation, A, that you want to get rid of a quarterback of this sort of ability, or B, that you want to set the precedent that if a guy really wants out, that he can force his way out. And so I still think option A here for the Houston Texans is to try and fix this, which was reflected in the way they talked about Deshaun Watson during the introductory press conference.
So usually when a team has a coaching opening, it's a rebuild. Green Bay 2 years ago had an opening, and it's the best opening probably in a decade, where you got Aaron Rodgers, a winning culture, smart people, Devontae Adams, and so that's a great job opening. I look at the Colts quarterback opening like the Packers job opening.
Oh, yeah.
This is a elite GM, elite O-line, star running back, way above average defense. So, you know, I'm a Carson Wentz. I'd call my agent and say, I'll take a pay cut. Reboot. I mean, seriously, that's one of those where I'll tell a pro athlete, dude, take a pay cut, reboot. Your gut feeling on who the Colts, because we know a lot of people would be interested in this job and a lot of agents and quarterbacks. Who do you think they're interested in?
I would not be surprised to see a massive move up the board in the draft in April. And, I take you back to where Chris Ballard came from. He was in Kansas City. And if you look at the way that they built the roster in Kansas City around Alex Smith the first 4 years there, it was sort of a constant process of trying to, you know, put weapons around the quarterback, build up the lines of scrimmage. And they waited on the quarterback. And Alex Smith gave them the flexibility to do that. And in 2017, they finally saw a guy that they really felt like this can be our guy. Now, Chris Ballard wasn't there for the trade, but he was there for the entire process. He was a big part of evaluating Patrick Mahomes. And he got to see firsthand the benefit of building up a roster first and then plugging a young quarterback in and not being afraid to make a massive move up the board to go and get that young quarterback. And so whether it's Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, it would not surprise me at all, Colin, if we're sitting here at the end of April and we're shaking our heads, wow, how did Chris Ballard get up into the top five? I think the fact that they built the roster up gives them some flexibility where they don't feel like they need a million draft picks over the next 2 years.
That's right.
To continue to build the thing. And if they do it this way, guess what? Then they've got a quarterback on a rookie contract for the next few years. And what does that do for you? It allows you cap space to go and take care of Quentin Nelson, to go take care of Darius Leonard, to take care of the multitude of the young players that they've brought up through that system over the last few years. So I actually think the Colts, they could look at Matthew Stafford, they could look at Matt Ryan, they could look at all these options that might be out there, but it wouldn't surprise me at the least if this is the year that Chris Ballard makes his massive move up the board to go and get a quarterback.
By the way, we talked about this yesterday. Kansas City, like the Colts, was drafting in the 20s, moved up to 10. Baltimore was in the second round, moved to the first for Lamar. Yep. Buffalo was in the 20s, moved up twice to number 7 to get Josh Allen. So there's a precedent here. You can be in the 20s if you got the roster set.
I got a little nugget for you too here. Chris Ballard was one of the first people to identify Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. He was on him as a freshman. So this was a process that Chris Ballard was very much a part of in Kansas City and knows the benefit of.
So, you know, we talked enough about the Texans and their job opening. Philadelphia has mostly in the last 5 or 6 years, we think of it as, you know, they won a Super Bowl. But now you hear about Howie Roseman, the power struggle. Jeffrey Lurie wants some things. There's a lot of power struggles. So my guess was they're going to hire somebody young, like a Joe Brady, that doesn't want power. Or like an Eric Bieniemy, who wants to build an offense and call plays like he's doing in Kansas City. Those guys work to me. They don't need the power, the personnel stuff. Bieniemy, Brady, they want to do what they want to do, which is call plays and build quarterback confidence. But, I mean, I haven't heard their names for the job. So what do you hear?
I hear they like Josh McDaniels quite a bit. Now, the way the process went for them, they talked to Josh McDaniels late last week. Over the weekend, it really crystallized that Josh McDaniels was the favorite for the job. They did a ton of recon on Josh McDaniels. So he's a very strong candidate there. They doubled back and they added some names to the list. So Nick Sirianni, Kellen Moore, Dennis Allen, all those guys have interviewed this week. And I think really this is going to come down to Josh McDaniels or one of those guys in the new group. And my sense would be at this point, it's probably going to be Josh McDaniels or Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator of the Colts. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I think a big part of it for Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie too, is finding somebody who can help them sort out the quarterback situation. And I think Josh McDaniels' experience, not just coaching Tom Brady, but also developing younger guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, like Jacoby Brissett, like all those years ago, Matt Castle, that really appeals to the Eagles, where they see a guy who's really got good experience working with quarterbacks and has learned from having been a head coach before. And Nick Sirianni, I think there's the obvious synergy there. He works for Frank Reich in Philadelphia. He runs the same sort of offense that Carson Wentz ran early in his career and probably could find a way to build Carson Wentz's confidence back up. So I think as much as anything, this hire is going to be about finding the right leader, but also about finding a way to get the quarterback position right again.
By the way, if Brady makes the Super Bowl in Tampa, not only will Belichick's girlfriend be unhappy, she was mad on Instagram. You got to be honest. You live in that area. That would sting a little. Albert, a little bit. If Brady got to a Super Bowl, New England, wouldn't they be it would be tense around there.
There are more Brady loyalists up here than you might believe.
Really?
Colin. Like there are people. Yeah. I mean, there are people that are still rooting really hard for the guy. I mean, I think like sort of what we've seen over the last, you know, 2-3 months, you know, you start to realize the level of disrepair the Patriots roster was in. The guys that were around Brady last year, why he played the way he did at the end of the season, it wasn't all him. It was in part what was around him. And I almost think like the way this year's played out has added to Tom Brady's legend here, where, you know, he's already on that Bobby Orr, Larry Bird,
yeah,
Bill Russell,
yeah,
Ted Williams type of level.
Yeah.
Well, now I think people are starting to say, okay, well, did we root for Ray Bourque when he went to the Colorado Avalanche to win his Stanley Cup? Hell yeah, we rooted for Ray Bourque.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and root for Tom Brady. So I think there are a lot of people around here that are kind of looking sideways at Bill for letting him go now and are very much rooting for Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Good stuff. Albert Breer, thanks for coming on the show, bud.
Thanks, Colin.
Boy, they're all time. Bill Russell. Can you imagine living in a city? Who are your all-time greats? Yeah, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Bobby Orr, Tom Brady, Ray Bourque. That's pretty good. That may be the Rushmore, as good a Rushmore. L.A. is probably better.
I was about to say, L.A.
is better, but Boston, that's way up there. Oh, Ted Williams, my bad. Best hitter in the history of baseball. Best hitter I ever saw was Rod Carew, but Ted Williams is considered the best hitter of all time. So there you go. So I was thinking, I listened to a lot of sports radio yesterday. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but I was driving around doing a bunch of stuff yesterday about this whole Philip Rivers, Eli Manning Hall of Fame stuff. And there's a difference between me having an opinion on this show, which has no impact. It doesn't shape anybody's life. And being a Hall of Fame voter. If I was a Hall of Fame voter, I'll have my thoughts on Philip and Eli next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tired of cooking at home? Change it up without getting up. Order Jersey Mike's through their app. No contact delivery, no contact at the door. Pick up Jersey Mike's, a sub above. So I was listening to a lot of sports talk radio yesterday about Philip Rivers and Eli Manning and should they be in the Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. And I've always thought there's a difference between me having an opinion on a radio show. I'm not affecting people's legacy. But if I was a Hall of Fame voter, I'm affecting a player, a dad, a husband, a brother, a legacy. That gold jacket gets you bigger contracts, bigger endorsements. I am changing your children's life. I'm going to take it much more seriously than ad-libbing about Kurt Warner on this show. And though I believe what I'm saying, standards change. You can go out with your wife for dinner, okay? And you wear, you know, a polo shirt. If you go to a wedding with your wife for dinner, you wear a nice suit, right? It's still going out with your wife for dinner. But the standards change. You're going to a wedding. It's more respectful. It matters more than just going out and getting some chicken piccata. So the reality is, I can have opinions, but based on the standards, if I'm a Hall of Fame voter, what would my standard be so that for years and years and years, if players came to me, why didn't you vote me in? I would say, well, I had a standard. Jimmy Johnson used to have this joy for drafting and trading players. People didn't used to trade in the NFL. And Jimmy created a chart. It's still used today.
The value system.
The value system. This is what players are worth. So you're not making it up. I would have the same system. So what would my system be for Hall of Fame? Were you, and it would be different than NFL than NBA, because NBA, you don't have all the injuries. It's not as violent. So I'm not asking you to give me 10 to 12 years of great like the NBA or baseball. Were you top five at your position for two contracts? That is 7 to 8 years. You can't be great for a contract. This is the Hall of Fame. I'm not putting Tom Brady in the same place for a guy that gave me one good contract. I'm not putting him in the same room. That diminishes Tom. Remember, the top of the Hall of Fame doesn't frame it. The bottom does. The bottom does. If you lower the standard, it affects the Hall. Montana, Brady, Peyton, Manning, Favre, that we know they're great. So the bottom is the key. What's the least amount you're letting in? And so my standard would be, if anybody came up, I'd say, were you top five at your position for two contracts? Now, if you're a running back, I'd give you 7 years because it's more violent. Quarterback, I'd want eight. And some guys do sign two contracts, a four and a three. But I want two contracts. Is that a reasonable standard? Now, in that case, Eli and Phillip Rivers, neither is a Hall of Famer. They were not top five quarterbacks.
For 8 years.
No, they weren't. They were never top five. Eli was not.
No, I'm saying I feel like 8 years is.
That's two contracts.
So Terrell Davis.
Does not get in.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
I would rescind
you
it.
Would take him out. Because he was only great for 4 years.
Okay, I would call him and apologize. But I would say I don't know Terrell, but I'm not diminishing it. He was great for a contract. So Brady's great for eight. You got one guy's great for one.
There's no formula.
No, I have an absolute formula. So there's no emotion, no opinion. Two contracts, top five position. You come up to me at a bar. Frank Gore, nope.
So Gale Sayers, five-time All-Pro.
Sorry.
Out because he only played okay, 7 years.
Listen, that's the one that'll tick everybody off. One contract. Now, you could say Gale's interesting. Because Gale, if he played today with the medical advancements, probably his career doesn't end. So if you want a medical exemption, listen, Sandy Koufax in baseball was great for 3 years. He was the greatest pitcher ever, so they let him in. If you want a medical exception or something,
what about
under
Kurt
your
Warner?
Standard, Sandy Koufax wouldn't get in.
No. Baseball, I'm just saying, let's just do football. Two contracts, top five. No exceptions. I'm not going to be whiffing and wavering. And you
does winning the Super Bowl count for anything in this formula? Because to me, with Eli, it's the longevity. It's the
longevity.
The consistency was never hurt.
Hey, a lot of people come to work every day.
Tom Brady. They don't get twice. He beat Tom Brady twice.
If I just came to work every day, you'd put me in the Radio Hall of Fame, even if I was just bumping into the walls and couldn't get hockey scores right.
If you for 2 years of your career, you were better than the best, than you were Howard Stern. Yes.
No.
For 2 years, you beat Howard Stern, and you also were that consistent. Yes.
Beat him in what? Thumb wrestling? What
do you mean? No, you beat him. Like, you beat the ratings.
Is my standard...
I don't think it's unreasonable.
Top five position, two contracts.
8 years is a lot.
What about Kurt Warner? Yeah, you said in the past you would put him in.
I would call him, take him out for some sushi, and say, you can't be in. Now, I've said on this show he's in, but my standard changes when I'm affecting families.
If you were voting, this is what you would do.
If I was voting.
So you're not voting. So is Philip and Eli in?
I don't want to. That's another segment. Okay, Greg Gosell, hour two next.